Alrighty, that was Olin Monk with Down 3 featuring Marius Somerville. You're on 95 BFM Breakfast and we've got a couple of special guests in the studio. This is really going to be quite a special corridor, I think. Morena, Rob and Rowdy.
Good morning.
How are you?
Yeah, fine, thanks.
Yeah, good. Thank you so much for making the time to come up for a chat. It's been a huge week. For anyone not aware, we've got Rob Sarkis, who's director of the Pike River film, just been having its first sort of premiere screenings across the country out in cinemas on October 30th. And we've got Rowdy Durbridge, who has a really personal connection to the story of Pike River. How are you both feeling this week with everything that's going down in terms of the premieres and it all sort of being launched into the world?
Well, you know, you spend a long time making a film, especially a film like this. I've personally been working on it for about 7 years, talking to the families, spending a lot of time, you know, in Greymouth, and then obviously creating the film. And it just feels, you know, sometimes you think you're just making a little family film to show your family and friends, because that's who you share it with initially to figure out if it's good or not, to evolve it. So it feels deeply satisfying to, you know, be at the right at the point, right at the precipice of showing the world, but specifically, you know, showing New Zealand and New Zealanders, because, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, everyone knows the words Pike River, and they do have, those two words have this deep resonance, mm-hmm. For many New Zealanders, you know, particularly slightly older New Zealanders who were, you know, following it right from the day. But a lot of New Zealanders don't really understand kind of what happened, mm-hmm. and I don't mean what happened really in the explosion, although there's the what and the why of the explosion, why a mine exploded, why 29 men died, but you know, we have broad understanding of that, but very few people actually understand what the Pike River families did in the 15 years since that explosion, and what they did, these ordinary people from mostly Greymouth, but other places like Christchurch as well, is they took on a David and Goliath fight for justice. Mm. You know, justice and accountability, a fight that is not complete, it is ongoing. They haven't actually achieved it yet, but they've achieved so much. And I, you know, I mean, I felt that was worth celebrating on film, because it shows you, I think, that if you fight and keep fighting, you can actually achieve things, you know, and I feel like that is a, you know, well beyond the Pike River story, that's a broader lesson for all New Zealanders, and I would say particularly young New Zealanders. You know, you've got to vote and you've got to fight, otherwise you get rolled over.
Yeah, it's a tragic story with what happened with the explosion, but it is quite a beautiful story in the resistance and the fight that happened afterwards. I'm interested to hear from you, Rowdy, about your personal connection to the story, because you worked in the mine, is that right?
Yep, I did. Yeah. You know, it's I was in I joined Pike River on the second induction, if you like. Mm. Yeah, and I was actually I followed my son there, funny enough. He used to follow me around with the different jobs that I was doing. Like, he followed me around in fishing, and that was what I wanted to do within mining. I wanted to for me and him to go to different mines and work together.
Mm, yeah. And you tragically lost your son on the day of the explosion. But you've chosen to be quite involved with the making of the film. What was that decision for you about wanting to be part of this story?
You can call me a babysitter if you want, you know, like because I knew the men. Like, we used to drink together, argue together, play together, dance together. Mm. Yeah, and I feel an obligation towards them, as in to see that there's no mud around them. Mm-hmm. Mm. Really, yeah.
Yeah, to honour their stories.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Rob, for you, approaching the subject matter, you know, it only happened in 2010, which is quite recently still, and quite sensitive for a lot of the families involved. How did you go about approaching this in a way that felt like you could really honour the story of what happened?
Well, you know, you just turn up.
Yeah.
You turn up in Greymouth and you tell people what's in your mind. And what was in my mind 7 years ago was that there was a story I thought that could be told here about the family's fight for justice. Mm-hmm. And I turned up to a family meeting. I spoke to a few individually first and turned up to a family meeting and said that that's what I would like to do, knowing that if they did not want that, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
That's a key, yeah. Right? But they did. They, you know, the two family groups, you know, embraced the idea. You know, I mean, you know, they kind of have an attitude in a way that, you know, any publicity for the Pike families is good publicity because they've spent, it's taken so long, you know, they're very aware that sometimes people, they thought, would get sick of Pike. You know, actually, people didn't get sick of Pike. Mm. People got sick of nothing happening with Pike. I think a lot of New Zealanders, they understand that something's wrong here, even if they don't fully understand the story of what specifically is wrong. Mm. There's multiple injustices, you know, it's David versus Goliath, it really is. And I just turned up, said what I was doing, what I'd like to do, and then invited them to talk. Mm-hmm. And then all I and writer Fiona Samuel did was really listen. Mm-hmm. You know, we probably spent like, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours, for example, with you, Rowdy, sitting in your lounge there, kind of, tell us your story, Rowdy. Mm-hmm. You know, tell us what happened. And it's and because there's no time constraints when you're making something as long term as a film, we can, you know, it's not like journalists, you've got to quickly file a story the next day. You know, the conversations could go deep. And they always did, you know, 2 to 3 hours average talking. And then we'd turn up again and we'd have multiple conversations. And, you know, through there you get multiple perspectives from the families and also other experts and, you know, people involved. And I guess, you know, you sort of shake that down and those perspectives, you just weave them, I guess, into a screenplay that you, and because you've met these people, you've face-to-face with them, had the karera, you feel a responsibility to reflect their story back at them and do them justice, especially when you're talking to people who have had so many injustices done to them, which is, you know, to your previous question, why it feels so satisfying now to be bringing their story, you know, to New Zealand as we are. You know, it's like, yeah, they're getting some justice. It's not justice in court, but it's you know, I think people across the country are going to understand and really feel for these families, and they're going to get angry when they see this film because, you know, what happened to them made me angry. This is not the New Zealand I want to be living in.
Yeah.
I accept that, that, you know, like fishermen drown. Mm-hmm. Miners get killed in mines, you know. It's a hard acceptance, but nevertheless they were killed in a mine, you know, which is not unusual. Mm-hmm. The part that gets under my skin is the fact in the way that they were left, and then the lies, you know, and the deceit, and there was, I felt like I was getting taken for a mug. Because I know a little bit about mining, and I've got some bloke in a $500 suit trying to tell me that it was impossible to get in there.
Mm. Yeah.
And whereas I knew different.
Yeah. Oh.
And that was the frustrating part for me.
Makes your blood boil. How does it feel for you to watch this film get received? It sounds like you had a real community in the men that worked there.
On the first viewing, I was asked how I thought of the movie, you know? And I'm not a liar, so not especially around Pike, and I didn't want to upset anyone, so I couldn't say what was in my mind about what I thought of the movie. You got to, because I had a lot of hate, really, but so much so I was rotting, you know. And I couldn't see that on the screen. And so I, I, I buggered off up to the mine because I've got the right to go up there, and I voiced my opinions to the seal, the portal, and came away and thought it was a selfish act in order for me to try and get my ugliness or anger on that screen, because that was my rot. Mm. So the next time I seen the movie, all that baggage I put aside and watched it with clean eyes, if you like.
Mm.
And and came away from it feeling clean.
Mm.
And healthy, you know. And that's the way in which the movie's portrayed, I feel, you know.
Mm.
There's certainly bits in it that are like raw emotion.
Yeah.
There's also humour, you know, and to hear people laugh gently around Pike brought me to tears. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of humanity that gets expressed when films like this come to light.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful sort of exchange of grief, but also just the human elements of having that connection through a story that's such a big part of our history.
Mm.
Mm.
Definitely.
Well, I think that's the power of storytelling, you know. You know, especially when tragedy strikes or something full-on happens, whether just in our own personal lives, which does happen in our lives, of course, parents eventually die, you know,
yeah.
Or in a tragedy like this or any other big national tragedy, I think we tell stories to help process that grief and that confusion. In the case of Pike, it wasn't just grief, it was grief and anger for these families mixed together. I saw that. I mean, so I hear what you're saying, really hear what you're saying, Rowdy, when you talk about that hate, that anger, because I saw that in multiple Pike families, especially yourself. I saw it in yourself, but you process it beautifully. I saw it in Anna Osborne and Sonia Rockhouse. Anna in particular, she, when I met her 7 years ago, she was this, it's like a black ball of grief and anger that was like in a tumble dryer. It was just awful, and it felt inescapable. And what I saw over the process of about 7 years was her and her Osborne finding a way to release herself from that anger by fighting. You know, she fought for her men, but in a way she fought to save herself.
Turn it into action.
It was extraordinary. And it sort of shows what the power of action is, you know, when you feel, especially when you feel an injustice has been done to you. And, no great injustice has been done to me, you know, but I'll feel a bit like pissed off if I get a parking ticket and it feels a bit unfair because I was just slightly over the time. You know, so we all can relate to very small injustices, but it's, you know, this injustice was not small. It was consuming for these families, and I guess I can only imagine that. And I have, and we've turned it into a movie.
Mm. Beautiful. Oh, everyone can go and see the movie when it's out in cinemas on the 30th of October. You've got a few more screening events, but they're all sold out because everyone wants to be a part of witnessing this story for the first time. But we should give some shout-outs to some special Q&A screenings that are happening across Tāmaki Makaurau in Newmarket on the 30th of October, at the Vic in Devonport on the 31st, and at Bridgeway Cinemas on November 1st. I've just loved having this corridor with you both, so I urge everyone to head along to these screenings and sit in on some beautiful Q&As and corridor. But thank you so much for coming up and sharing your stories with us. It's been really, really special.
Thank you.
Total pleasure.